morning, Africa, and welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Today is Monday, February the 7th. And here are some of the stories we're covering for you this morning. Senegal has been crowned the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations champions after defeating Egypt 4-2 on penalties.
Finally, unfittingly, Sadio Mane, the guy that scores the winning goal. So it's exciting times for them. It's a huge, huge victory for them.
The Africa Union's head of summit concluded in Addis Ababa this weekend with talks on strengthening food security, health and social welfare. They also condemned the unconstitutional change of power in some West African countries.
The African Union, the regional economic communities will not tolerate military coup d'etat in any form.
Botswana revises a controversial spy bill which would have allowed investigators to intercept private communications. We'll have those stories plus sports coming up right here on Daybreak Africa. Stay tuned. And for our top story, Senegal has been crowned 2021 Africa Cup of Nations champions after defeating Egypt 4-2 on penalties following a 0-0 draw in regular time at Yaounde's Olembe Stadium. Two Premier League heavyweights, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, powered their teams to the finals, with Sadio Mane prevailing. It was a highly contested match that left Salah in tears as he and his Egypt teammates came up short after battling to get to penalty kicks for the fourth straight game. Mane struck the decisive penalty to give Senegal its first ever Africa Cup championship against the seven-time winner of the tournament. So how did Senegal, which has lost two previous AFCON finals, do it this time around? And for that, I'm joined by Jonah Byakutaga, a sports reporter and commentator based in Kampala.
For starters, well, Senegal have never won the Africa Cup of Nations. It's hard to imagine, considering the star-studded teams they've had. But this is their first ever victory. They've only been to two finals, the most recent, I think, being in 2000, when Egypt defeated them on a penalty shootout as well. Yeah, right. So they've gone into two finals. This most recent one in 2019, and then back then when they lost to Egypt, I think it was 2002, because 2000, Egypt beat Cameroon. So it's uncharted territory for them. And they've had this whole called golden generation. When they went to the World Cup in 1998 and they beat France, and everybody thought, oh yeah, this Senegal team is it. And they failed to build on that. So finally, unfittingly, Sadio Mane, the guy that scores the winning goal. So it's exciting times for them. It's a huge, huge victory for them as a nation.
So Jonah, as you said, this was not Senegal's first rodeo. They've been to the finals before. They've lost out on penalties. What was the difference this time around, and how were they able to learn from their past mistakes to be able to lift the trophy this time around?
I think the difference this time was they built on what happened in the last tournament. 2019, when they lost that final to Algeria, many thought Senegal should have won that final, and they didn't get there. I think they steadied the ship and they kept pretty much the same squad that was in that tournament. So it was about consistency. Keep the same squad in there. Have them hungry. I watched Sadio Mane defend the coach, Aliou Cisse, and he said he doesn't understand why Cisse gets all this criticism. And you felt in so many ways the players were actually playing for the coach. They wanted to prove a point that he deserves that job. He's, interestingly, the previous 2019 final when Algeria beat Senegal, there was a local-based coach because the guy that coached Algeria was Algerian. So it's two consecutive editions where we've had African coaches win the trophy. So you felt the Senegalese, more than just winning it for their country, they wanted to win it for Cisse. Cisse is a former captain of the national team. And he's come under some understandable criticism because this Senegal team is good and they've been to the final. They could only do so much. So he's been under unfair criticism. So you felt guys like Mane coming out to defend him, it was clear that they wanted to win it for him. So I thought, for me, that was a big, big driving point for them in today's final.
So lots of exciting players on both sides, Egypt with Mo Salah. But who are some of the players on the Senegalese side that were the difference makers this time around?
Obviously, the Liverpool pair, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. See, Egypt is a tournament team. We saw how they started the tournament against in a group with Nigeria. and they got beaten in the first game. They scrapped 2-1-0 victories, really, really scrapped. They didn't look impressive. I wrote them off. I didn't really think they'd actually go even as far as the quarterfinals. I was certain they would get ejected by Ivory Coast. But somehow, as the tournament grew, they are a true tournament team. They know that you just don't get beaten. All you have to do once you get to the knockout stages, avoid getting beaten. That's what they did against Ivory Coast. Keep it tight at the back. Do not concede. Then get a lucky chance or get two penalties and try your luck. They've done that. They ejected Ivory Coast. They then ejected Morocco, who, to so many people, Morocco are playing the best football in the tournament. They conceded quite early against Morocco, that penalty to Sofiane Boufal, and they came back and won the game 2-1. Then they go to the semifinal. Again, they had the hardest semifinal against a host, Cameroon, and everybody thought, okay, their luck runs out against the host. And still, so they had the harder path to the final over Senegal. But you get the feeling, maybe the advantage Senegal had, they played Cape Verde, they played Equatorial Guinea, they played Burkina Faso. On paper, they had the easier games. Egypt played 120 minutes against Ivory Coast in the round of 16, played another 120 against Cameroon in the semifinals, and against Morocco as well. So you get the feeling they were a bit fatigued. They mentioned requesting to have the final played on Monday. It couldn't happen. So maybe the fatigue eventually caught them. But I think for me, without question, if you look at the two sides, I think Senegal, you would argue, deserved it. They started slow, but as the tournament progressed as well, they started to score more goals. The introduction is of Ismaïla Sarr, the Watford winger. Remember, at the beginning of the tournament, Watford refused to release him to the tournament. Eventually, he passed a few fitness tests, and he flew back to Cameroon in time for their quarterfinal tie. And from then on, they've looked at a different team with him helping Mane. Yeah, so the pressure was always on Mane to carry this team on his own. When Ismaïla Sarr returned into the side, then Senegal had a cutting edge, and it looked like they could, get behind teams.
That was John Abiakutaga, a sports reporter and analyst based in Kampala, Uganda. Voice of America! So how did sports fans around the continent feel about Senegal's win? We asked around, and here are some of your responses.
My name is Sebunya Flanka from Uganda, Liverpool fan. I support Senegal. I'm so happy. The game was so nice. It was so competitive. Egypt was playing defensively, but Senegal managed to break through, though they were unlucky in some times, but they managed to win.
I'm supporting Senegal, and of course it's the very team that won the game. I think they deserve the African Cup of Nations. Of course, they applied much energy to win because it wasn't easy.
Yeah, my name is Dr. Valentine Tebimbeli. I'm the Dean School of Law, Kampala International University. And today was particularly a very great day that we had to watch the finals of the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations played in 2022 in our country, Cameroon. So we are very proud that the tournament went very well.
The game was good for me, and I've really enjoyed. In the first place, I was disappointed with Mane, because in the fourth minute, he missed a penalty. But in the when the game was ending, at least he scored the last penalty for the team to win.
Those were some of your opinions on the AFCON 2021 finals that just concluded in Yaounde, Cameroon. We have more sports for you ahead in the show. The African Union has concluded its two-day summit. The theme of this year's meeting focused on strengthening nutrition, food security, and health and social protection systems. Leaders from across the continent who gathered Saturday in Ethiopia's capital also discussed the COVID pandemic and insecurity, as Gelmo Dawit reports for VOA from Addis Ababa.
Leaders gathered at the 35th African Union Summit have condemned the waves of coup seen in Africa. Ambassador Bankole Adeoye is the AU's Commissioner of Political Affairs, Peace and Security. He says summit attendees took a firm stance against any unconstitutional change of government in Africa.
So what is important is that our leaders have condemned in no uncertain terms that the African Union, the regional economic communities, will not tolerate military coup d'etat in any form.
To underscore the point, the ambassador noted the AU suspended the membership of four nations, Mali, Guinea, Sudan, and Burkina Faso. At Sunday's closing session, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta presented a report linking coups to political instability and an absence of good governance that undermine Africa's socio-economic progress. Kenyatta chairs the Peace and Security Council of the African Union. He called on African Union to address root causes of the coups. The report also addressed ways to curb terror activities and politically motivated conflicts across the continent, including in Ethiopia. Ambassador Bankole says the Peace and Security Council is backing efforts to facilitate talks between Ethiopian government and the Tigray People's Liberation Front while supporting Ethiopia's Commission for National Dialogue. Armed conflict involving the government and the TPLF erupted in November 2020. Galmu Dawit reporting for VOA News from African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa.
More than 20,000 Sudanese and South Sudanese forced by violence to flee their refugee camps in northwestern Ethiopia are in desperate need of life-saving aid. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
A camp hosting 10,300 Sudanese and South Sudanese refugees in Ethiopia's northwestern region of Benishangul Gumuz was looted and burned on January 18th. This after fighting broke out between unidentified armed groups and federal forces in the nearby town of Tongo. This alarming event followed the looting of another camp in the area in late December. A spokesman for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Boris Cheshikov, says the situation in this region has been very tense since violence first erupted in December.
A total of 22,000 people in both camps have been cut off from access and assistance since then. All humanitarian staff have had to evacuate, and access to the area, including to the two camps, remains impossible.
The Benishangul Gumuz region borders Sudan and South Sudan. It hosts more than 70,000 refugees from these countries, as well as more than 500,000 Ethiopians internally displaced by intercommunal violence and conflict. Cheshikov reports that since violence erupted in December, more than 20,000 refugees have made the long, difficult trek to three different sites closer to Asosa, the regional capital. He says all have arrived exhausted and in need of assistance.
UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, and partners are rushing life-saving aid to more than 20,000 refugees. UNHCR is working with the Ethiopian Refugee and Returnees Service and partners to provide the most urgent assistance to displaced refugees, including hot meals, clean water, and medical care.
Cheshikov says regional authorities are setting up a new temporary site that can hold 20,000 people. He says UNHCR is working to install basic services, including shelter, water collection points, and latrines. It then will seek to relocate the refugees to the new site as soon as possible. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Following public outrage, Botswana's government has revised a controversial spy bill which would have allowed investigators to intercept private communications without a court order. Under the revised bill, tapping private conversations now becomes an offense. From Gaborone, Mkodisi Dube has details.
Botswana's government has removed controversial clauses in the Criminal Procedure and Evidence Bill presented to Parliament last month. The initial bill allowed investigators to bug communication devices and gave state agents immunity from prosecution. In that version of the bill, there was no oversight body, and investigating officers were also allowed to assume fake identities. But on Friday, the government introduced a revised bill to Parliament that will now make it an offence to tape conversations. An oversight body will be established under the control of the minister. Opposition Member of Parliament, Itabelo Gyorabezi, welcomes the changes but still has concerns about the proposed law.
What the state sought to do through this law in its original form, as it was gazetted and tabled, read a first time and second time, was to legitimize state terrorism. That is what we opposed.
He says pressure from civic society groups led to the government removing what he calls the offending clauses of the bill.
We are not ashamed to say that we would like to extend our sincere gratitude to the civil society, Indigenous Law Society of Botswana, MISA Botswana, print, broadcast and social media, trade union federations, influencers, the opposition and Botswana in general, for their strong voice and campaigns against the bill.
Cindy Kelemi, the director of Botswana Network on Ethics, Law and HIV/AIDS, says they still need for more debate on the bill.
Our expectation is that a bill of this nature, which has the potential to infringe on people's liberties, should have extensive engagement and consultation.
The Media Institute of Southern Africa wrote to President Mokgweetsi Masisi this week, urging him to halt debate on the bill pending public consultations. Mr. Zimbabwe Chapter's Ngaba Machazi says they welcome the new changes to the bill and will continue to engage with Botswana's government.
While there are still issues that we are concerned about, I think in everything that the government does and in everything that Parliament does, there should be a balance between the rights of citizens, particularly the right to privacy in this case, and the state's obligation in terms of national security.
When debate is finished, the revised bill is expected to pass into law with few changes. Kondisi Dube for VOA News, Gaborone.
The Kenyan government has launched security operations to flush out bandits in the country's Rift Valley counties. The operations come at a time when people are fleeing their homes for safety. This as Kenya's Interior Ministry has ordered the arrest of political leaders who are accused of funding the robbers in the counties of Baringo, West Pokot, and Elengeyo Marakwet. However, security experts say government tactics to end the attacks have not been successful, and the government may not win the war against the criminals. Maureen Ojambo reports from Sacramento.
The Kenyan government over the weekend launched a manhunt to drive out bandits threatening communities along the borders of Baringo, West Pokot, and Elgeyo Marakwet counties. Kenya's Interior Ministry says security team have begun a sustained 14-day exercise to evict invaders and return to normalcy in the affected areas. Interior Cabinet Secretary Fred Matiang'i says a multi-agency team has been deployed in the area. They are helping to beef up security, especially in schools, by recruiting police reservists and members of the paramilitary wing of the police, the General Service Unit.
We are going to operationalize all the administrative areas in Baringo North and Baringo South that had not been operationalized, the locations, the sub-locations, so that we man all those areas of administration. We have doubled our security deployment in this region. Already on the border of Elgeyo Marakwet and West Pokot, we have brought in 5 platoons of our special GSU teams. We have again agreed on renewed redeployment in areas of Baringo North and Baringo South.
The security team has recommended that political leaders funding the bandits be arrested. The arrests would also be extended to cultural leaders who perform rituals blessing the thieves and their criminal activities. Security expert George Msamali says the government's approach to restore peace in the area may not bear fruits, as they have used the same approach before without success.
We've been having this situation since independence, 1963 to date, and the government has always been giving a knee-jerk reaction. Every time we have banditry attacks in the area, you'll find that the government will come up with these ultimatums. They'll organize security operations in the area. We'll take the army there. We've seen arrests of leaders, and the government has always come up saying that these are the people that are inciting the locals to take up arms and attack their neighbors. And I believe this is not the solution to the problem that we're having in that area. We have proliferation of small arms from the neighboring countries.
Last week, East African Legislative Assembly member Florence Jematia was arrested and charged in court following controversial remarks she made in Baringo. It's on record Jematia allegedly asked residents of Mochongoi, one of the troubled areas in Baringo South constituency, to raise funds to buy firearms while accusing the Kenyan government of laxity in dealing with insecurity in the region. Msamali says banditry in the area is now a business where animals are stolen and sold to the third parties.
what is happening in Rift Valley, especially in the Marakwet area and Pokot and Turkana, is something to do with what has turned to be an economic activity. It's no longer banditry that is targeting the people, but I think the main target here is cattle rustling, where the animals are stolen and then they're sold off to third parties. But if you look at the government, we've been using tactics, not strategy. And if we have to win this war against banditry and cattle rustling in those areas, then we have to change and start using strategy.
So far, more than 30 people have been killed in the area and scores injured in the past 2 months. Thousands of people in the region have fled their homes after a series of raids by armed bandits that has left behind a trail of death and livestock losses. Efforts by the government to disarm residents and hold security meetings with leaders have not been successful as the robbers continue to raid homes. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa, the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Tunisia's top judge has accused President Kais Saied of illegally undermining the judiciary's independence by dissolving the Supreme Judicial Council on Sunday and warned that judges will not stay silent. Saied announced the decision overnight. It is the latest move in his consolidation of power after dismissing the parliament, sacking the prime minister, and promising to remake the democratic constitution in moves that his critics are calling a coup. And now it's time for Daybreak Africa Sports. Let's go back to Yaounde, where Samson O'Malley brings us more news on the thrilling finals matchup. Good morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, Jackson. We begin the sport with the African Cup of Nations, which was concluded on Sunday night. Senegal was crowned champions of the 2021 African Cup of Nations on Sunday after the Lions of Taranga defeated the Pharaohs of Egypt on penalties to win the coveted trophy for the first time in the 65-year history of the tournament. After two previous final defeats, Senegal are Cup of Nations winners at last, while Egypt missed out on the record-extending 8th continental crown that would also have been a first for Mohamed Salah. Senegal's celebration followed a disappointing final, the fifth in the last 11 editions of the tournament to be decided in a shootout after a goalless draw. Sadio Mane made up for missing from the sport in normal time to score the decisive penalty as Senegal overcame Mohamed Salah's Egypt 4-2 in a shootout to win the Nations Cup. The 33rd edition of the Nations Cup is the first African Cup of Nations to be played in Cameroon since 1972 that saw Senegal win their first title. Away from the Nations Cup, Ghana, Nigeria and Senegal sealed their spot in the fifth of the African qualifiers for the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup Costa Rica 2022 after their home victories in the second leg, fourth round ties on Saturday. Ghana swept past Uganda with a 5-0 win in Cape Coast as Nigeria thrashed Cameroon 3-0 in Abuja, while Senegal needed a 5-4 penalty shootout to pip Morocco on the same day. The African representatives will emerge from the final round of the African qualifiers with the first leg fixtures scheduled between March the 10th to the 12th and second leg ties for March 24th to the 26th. In Club World Cup football, North African football giant Al Ahly of Egypt progressed to the semi-final of the Club World Cup, where they will face Palmeiras on Tuesday night after beating Monterrey by 1-0 in the second round at the Al Nahan Stadium, Abu Dhabi on Saturday night. The Eagles' only goal was scored by Mohamed Hani in the 53rd minute. The goal didn't only seal victory for the Egyptians and a ticket to the semis, but it was important such that it guaranteed them a top-four finish in the global showpiece. However, after finishing third in the competition last month, South African Al Ahly coach Pitso Mosimane and his troops will be aiming for the top prize. Chelsea will face Al Hilal of Saudi Arabia in the Club World Cup semi-finals after the Asian Champions League winners came from behind to rout Al Jazeera 6-1 on Sunday. And now to basketball news. The International Basketball Federation office in Africa is set to launch its National Youth Camp, a youth development program across the continent. Guinea and Mauritius will host the first two camps from February 8th to the 13th, with six other countries following thereafter. The National Youth Camp aims to help national federations to identify new talents and build youth development programs for local players and coaches. And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Yaoundé, Cameroon. It's back to you, Jackson, in Washington.
And that's it for this edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending this morning with us. Until next time, I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a great week ahead, Africa.